So we're moving on to item six. It's a presentation for the Army Corps of Engineers on the Brazos River Infirm Watershed Hydrology Assessment. Helena, are you on with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, and I believe you have a slideshow for us.
Yes, I do. And thank you so much for allowing us the opportunity to come and talk to your group. It's a privilege and an honor, and I just have about 10, 15 minutes to share with you a little bit about a study that we recently kicked off and that may provide valuable information to flood planning in the Brazos region in the future. So I'm going to try and share my screen. Are you able to see the slide?
We are.
Okay, great. As I said, my name is Helena Mosser. I work for the Fort Worth District Corps of Engineers, and I'm talking to you today about a new study we kicked off. It's called the Inform Watershed Hydrology Assessment for the Brazos River Basin. And so this study is being conducted by the Interagency Flood Risk Management Team, which is basically a collaboration between the four federal agencies that you see here that are involved in flood risk and in water resources in the region. And so this was a pilot program that began in Texas in 2014, just trying to leverage the expertise and resources from across the federal agencies. And there's a website there on the bottom left that you can go to if you have interest that describes all the efforts that this team is engaged in. And so some of the major initiatives that the Inform group is engaged in are shown here. I'm going to be talking today about the watershed assessments, which are shown in the upper right. And then there's also in the lower right, the estimated base flood elevation viewer, which is basically the server that serves up all the base level engineering data, BLE data across the state. And then on the left-hand side of your screen there is a screenshot from the flood decision support toolbox. And this is a server that serves up flood inundation mapping that are tied to river gauges throughout the region. And so this map in this example is actually showing the Brazos River in Waco, and this is what a major flood stage would look like on the Brazos River in that location. So these are maps that automatically update according to the current forecast from the National Weather Service. So if the National Weather Service is forecasting a stage of 20 feet, this map would update to show what the inundation looks like for that 20 feet stage. And then recently, the Texas Water Development Board also added building footprints to this server, so you can actually see which structures would be inundated under different scenarios. And there's a slider bar where you can look at all inundation for all different stages and what would happen. So that's another interesting tool that can help inform the public on their flood risk. But as far as the watershed assessments and the current Brazos study, this centers on the science of hydrology, which is basically studying how much water will result from a given storm event on a point of interest on a river. And the challenge of hydrology is that it really represents the single largest source of uncertainty in our flood risk estimation. So there are many commonly used and accepted methods in hydrology, and every method will yield a different answer to what the 1% annual chance or 100-year flow is. So in Texas, we've seen that this variation can yield up to 10 feet of variation in flood depth for the 100-year event. And that's what you see in those pictures on the right, is that difference can be the difference of whole neighborhoods either being included in the floodplain or not included in the floodplain. And the uncertainty in their flood risk. And then in addition, you know, for large complex rivers like the Brazos River, there's often quite a few stretches where the FEMA flood insurance hydrology may not have been updated for decades, you know, going back 30, 40, even 50 years since the hydrology underlying those flood maps has been updated. So the purpose of the watershed assessments is to try and produce consistent estimates of the 100-year flow and other frequency flows across these large complex river basins. And these studies try to employ a thorough approach to hydrology, meaning that we use a range of different hydrologic methods instead of just one, and we compare their results to one another as well as to previously published studies. This helps to tell the story of how that 100-year flow has changed over time, and it also allows us to formulate recommendations based on multiple lines of evidence rather than just one. The results of these studies are not regulatory, but they are recommended in many cases by the team as best available information for other future flood planning activities. So this is just a map of the currently completed as well as in progress river basins for the watershed assessments. The Brazos River Basin just got underway this last summer, and so we're currently working on that, as well as the Lower Colorado, the Nueces, and the White River over in Arkansas are all currently underway. And then the green basins you see here are the ones that have already been completed. So specifically for the Brazos watershed assessment, this is just a map showing our study area. So basically we are including the entire contributing drainage area of the Brazos River Basin, but the main focus of the study is going to be from the Clear Fork Brazos and then downstream. And so then upstream of the Clear Fork is going to be what we call our minimal detail area, where we only do the modeling that is needed to get to feel confident in the flows downstream of there and on the Clear Fork. And the focus of our study, I should emphasize, is also on the larger streams and rivers. We are not trying to study and model every small tributary in the Brazos River Basin, but we're focusing on the larger rivers and tributaries. So some of the major tasks in the watershed assessments are listed here. Those first four bullets are all different types of hydrologic analysis that we'll do. We include statistical analysis of the gauge records, period of record simulations, reservoir studies. We also do rainfall runoff modeling with three different components to that, including calibration and two different kinds of frequency storms. And then once we do all those major modeling components, we compare the results from those methods to one another and do some investigations into the differences. So that investigation in itself may include additional analysis. And some of the things that we typically do during that phase may include comparisons with historic storms, storm shifting, and 2D rain on grid analysis. After that's completed, we'll produce draft documentation and draft recommended frequency flow results. And then those draft recommendations go through a peer review process. And then after all the peer review comments are resolved, the final report is published at that INFORM website. Just a few of the unique features in these watershed assessments are listed here. One is the change over time plots for the stream gauge records, and this is what's shown in the upper right corner. Basically what you see there is the blue dots are the annual floods that have happened in that watershed. And then the blue line is the 100-year estimate based on the data that has occurred up to that point in time. So these kind of plots help us see how the 100-year flow estimate is changing over time, and whether the current estimate is at a high point, a low point, or somewhere in the middle. We also do extensive calibration of the rainfall runoff model in a basin like the Brazos that has over 100 stream gauges, over 40 different reservoirs. We'd be looking at trying to calibrate the model to make sure that the model is truly representing the way that the watershed responds to these rainfall events. And so we want to make sure that what the model is showing is matching what has actually happened in the watershed. And then the elliptical shaped frequency storms give us a way to apply that NOAA Atlas 14 rainfall to very large drainage areas. So what you see there in the bottom middle is a storm that would match the NOAA Atlas 14 depth in the center and then is reduced outward. And we can move those storms throughout the watershed. And then finally, we also do storm shifting, and this is to model near miss scenarios. So in the bottom right corner, you see a picture of a storm shift that we did in the Trinity Basin. And this is where there was a 10-inch rainfall storm. This was from June of the year 2000. And the storm just happened to fall mainly above Benbrook Lake, which is the core reservoir. And so that Clear Fork gauge in the Fort Worth area that you see down below didn't really see much of a response, didn't see much flooding. So we just shifted that storm about 10 to 15 miles north to the uncontrolled area around Mary's Creek, and then reran the model to see what would happen. And it showed very substantial flooding could have happened at that Clear Fork gauge. And that just helped us to verify the recommended results for that area. So then after we finish all these analyses, as I said, the information does go through an extensive peer review process. And there's a few different places where that takes place. One is that we have informal peer review feedback that is welcomed throughout the study. So we have quarterly stakeholder meetings during this study. And just want to say that anybody that's on this call that is interested in participating in any of those meetings, you are welcome to. My contact information is at the end of this presentation, and you can just send me your email address or anybody from your staff that you want to participate in those stakeholder meetings. And we'd welcome your participation and feedback. And so we have informal peer review as we go along. We share draft analysis and draft results. And then the final peer review is performed on the draft report documentation. So typically we invite peer reviewers from all different agencies and groups. So here you see listed, we'll solicit feedback from different federal agencies, from different regional stakeholders, such as the river authorities, drainage districts, councils of governments and cities and counties. We'll also invite state agencies such as the Texas Water Development Board and TxDOT and the General Land Office to participate and to give feedback. And then we also get a peer review from the Inform Academic Council, which is made up of professors from regional universities here in Texas. So after that peer review process is completed, and the comments are resolved, it'll be published in an appendix with the final report. And then once again, we said the final report is published on this publicly available website. And the results are generally recommended as best available flood risk information for future studies and mapping updates. And anybody that wants to use the models and data that are produced from these studies, we provide that data at no charge upon request. So just a couple examples of how the information from these studies is being used across Texas. First, there are several areas where FEMA is using the Inform Watershed Hydrology Assessment results in their floodplain mapping updates. And so we've seen them take the information from these studies and do their own floodplain mapping updates on areas of the Blanco River, Middle Guadalupe River, and the East Fork Trinity River, for example. Individual cities can also add detail to update their local floodplains on smaller streams within these areas. And we also see where the Texas Water Development Board is adjusting their BLE data that is being produced to try and be consistent with the watershed hydrology assessment results where it's available. These methods are also being applied in the river basin flood studies that the GLO is currently performing. And so they're trying to be consistent with the same methods that we are using. And then once again, they're available for any other studies, these results for, that are where they're wanted to be used. And so this is just a kind of a snapshot of the schedule for this study. So as I said, we just kicked off the study in July. We actually just had our first quarterly stakeholder call a couple weeks ago, and this is a 3.5-year study. So it's going to go all the way through basically the end of 2025. Right now we're in the middle of just getting underway in a lot of these types of analysis. And as I said, we're going to have these quarterly stakeholder calls to get feedback all throughout this process. So that's all I had to share. Are there any questions about this?
Thanks, Helen. I already got my call, I think, last week asking for stage storage data out of the dam. So we know they're working. Mark, you had a question?
Yeah, just for clarification, Helen, you had commented in the very beginning about you've added building structures into the mapping, and it was showing whether a building would be inundated or not. For clarification, does it show that a building would be inundated or that it's just within proximity of the floodplain?
It shows, actually, I think it's even color-coded as far as the depth of flooding at the structure. So we don't make, like, there's some, if you go onto that server, there's a bunch of, you know, caveats as far as there may be uncertainty in this information. But we uploaded those building footprints as they were provided by the Texas Water Development Board. And so it'll actually color code the structure according to, like, if it's forecasted to be 1 foot flooded, 3 foot flooded, 5 feet or more flooded, how deep is the flooding projected to be at that structure? But obviously there's uncertainty in those estimates as well.
So we don't know for sure that they have a finished floor elevation of that building. They just know that the floodplain on the ground would be 3 or 4 feet deep, but we don't know if the building was built up or not.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the details of that database as far as whether the Water Development Board included the finished floor elevations or not. So that's something I'd have to check and get back to you on.
And just one comment. I appreciate the effort that you guys are doing to provide this floodplain mapping. My concern is that just like Fort Bend County, we recently did a study on the Brazos River for our area, and we have to do flood frequency analyses and things like that, just like you folks do. And as you said in your comments, that the floodplain could differ as much as 10 feet in some areas, depending on who did the study and what information was put into the study. And it's a little bit concerning because you get so many different studies out there with different information, and the general public tries to look at it and make decisions based on that. It's very confusing to them. And so I get concerned, and I know in this particular study, you're taking our model, incorporating it in with your model, so I don't have an issue there, but it just seems concerning for the public that they're not going to have a definitive answer as to what the real floodplain is in their area. And as a matter of fact, I don't think that anybody can absolutely say what the real 100-year floodplain is until we get, you know, several hundred years worth of data under our belt to validate our models.
Absolutely. I mean, the best that we can do and that we try and do is try and minimize that uncertainty to the extent possible by looking at all the available data, all the different analysis, and so hopefully hone in that uncertainty to at least a smaller band than what we started with.
All right, any other questions for our guests today? Well, we appreciate you coming in, and maybe you can give us an update. And since it's a 3-year project, you know, maybe once a year is appropriate, but maybe you get a next milestone. I think this group, as we're going forward, will be very interested in how this stuff threads together, obviously, since it's a big impact in our watershed. So we don't want to duplicate, and we want to leverage where we can. So appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.